Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be different, rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class. Also, Commonwealth of Israel. Today is the Sabbath, man. We want to say praises to the Most High God. He allowed us to reach another Sabbath. This ain't something that, you know, hey, we can sit up here and say, like, we got a car block on. We don't. Some of us tend to think that just because the Lord let us see another Sabbath, we good. Nah, you just, mercy. It's just mercy. Some of us, you know, we think that because the Lord is been merciful to us and still allowing us to walk the grass in spite of all the crap we done pull in this earth, we think we good. Just mercy. That's all it is mercy. One is you get it right. The other is we die in our sins. So our take is to what? Get it right. And that's our only take at this time, because we have no other take. We have to get it right, because you only get one shot. And if He gave you an opportunity to get in the first resurrection, then it's our responsibility to make sure that we reach that first resurrection, you know. And I don't think, you know, it's any of our first faults, you know, to say that anybody can make it, because it's not for us to say. Anybody who is going to make it, who ain't going to make it, this, that, and the other. We just know who not to mess around with. We know the people who will cause us to slip and fall. Man, woman, child. We know who our kryptonite is, so to say. And instead of catering to that, what we should be doing is cutting those things off. We should be cutting them things off and trying to plant new seeds and new ground and things like that. What do you mean? Well, this is what this Sabbath is about, man. I mean, in fact, if I the way things are working out, we'd probably be getting more and more into this morning fruits of the Spirit thing. And that's what I really, you know, I really enjoy that. I was doing this. Also, I'm also doing that. So was, am doing the works of the flesh, you know. And that's a little more harder pill to swallow because a lot of us fall in that category of what we're doing that's evil. And then some of us feel like we're getting picked on because, you know, our sins are being exposed, so to say. Well, no. It's just that, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you need to fix, and this is what you need to stop. And that goes for me, too. It ain't like, you know, I'm just saying I got it right. I don't. God forbid, I've never been that person. I've never been that person to be in somebody else's business to justify anything. You know what I mean? My take is the less I know about you, the better off I am because I don't have to worry about judging you. So please keep me out of your business. But, yeah, man, we're dealing with the fruits of the Spirit as far as also the works of the flesh. So I'm trying to figure how I can work that in, too. You know, but definitely the fruits of the Spirit, we can work that in the morning. And I guess that would be pretty good. It would be to do this in the a.m. versus in the evening. You know, so anyway, let's get into this. All right, so the God of Israel has given us the fruits of the Spirit. Now, a lot of us equate these things as, you know, they happen in Genesis chapter, you know, I mean, not Genesis, but when Jesus came, then here come the gifts of the Spirit and, you know, all of that. And we want to forget that, all this is if before he gave us the fruits of the Spirit before we became mobile. You understand? He gave us the fruits of the Spirit before we became mobile, before we became alive. You know, he drew this this plan out that we were going to be in this manner or that manner. And this is before sin entered to the picture. And when sin entered to the picture, then he wrote another set of laws that's called sin. And so those laws are contrary to the laws that we're created in. But when Adam sinned, he introduced those laws that's contrary to the laws we're created in. So we literally have to fight ourselves to commit sin. We literally have to fight ourselves to commit sin. We have to literally have to disobey God. Literally. We have to disobey him, and we have to devise our minds to do it. You know, it's not like, you know, we can just say, okay, I'm just going to do this and do that. No, man, you have to set your mind to be disobedient. And that's the part about when us being created in his image, you know, and that's the part about us being innate. And those things that he created us in are innate. We were just created in them. And that's the way God made us. He gave us these things before sin came into the picture. So we should not have a problem with the gifts. Well, we do have a problem with the gifts because we rather serve the flesh than the gifts, which is understandable. That's what we do. We rather serve the flesh than the gifts. Well, and foremost, your gifts are supposed to lead you and I into a better place in life. You know, and what do I mean? Health. But some of us have a gift of healing. So your gifts is supposed to be an instrument to me for health. You know, prophecy, the hearing of the word of God, you know. Those things that belong to him. Well, that don't belong to you. That belongs to him. So therefore, if I want to know the word of God. It's your responsibility that I should hear it. Because he put you in a position to make sure that I do hear it. And so I have a choice. That may be whoever it is. Some of us love it. Some of us hate it. Some of us wish we never got into it because we found out that, like Jeremiah, people hate God. And they hate you for knowing God. And they would do and say anything they possibly can to destroy your being because they hate God that's in you. So they destroy your character because they see the God in you. They know the God in you. But they don't want to obey the God in you. Even though they need what you have pertaining to the God that's in you. And that's Jeremiah. All of us needed what he had. Ezekiel, all of us needed what he had. Elijah, all of us needed what he had, what God gave him. And yet, all we can do is think about how we can kill him. Well, that's the worst of the flesh. Those things came after we sinned in the garden. Well, we had things that was in us before we sinned in the garden. Well, we're not there. We're not even dealing with that part. We're trying to deal with the part that got us, that gave us life, because that's what's going to get us, what's going to save us. You know, he gave us, you know, all of us, we know that he gave us the gift and the power to save ourselves. We just don't know what. Well, let's just see what it is. Amen. So let's get prayed in and we'll get started. So brothers and sisters, if you can stand, face Jerusalem. Brothers, if you can uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can cover your heads, and we'll approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge and understanding and faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them too a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. 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 Praise be the Lord. Well, 1 second, if I can. Actually, I want you to give me a moment here as I get my phone and everything set up. Good. Thank you. Hey, man. Well, like I said, welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. You have your brother Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class, and today we're dealing with the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the first fruits of the Spirit. This is what he gave Adam and Eve before sin into the picture, and that's what we're trying to tap into. We're trying to tap into that because if we can get into that, we'd probably be okay. I'm not saying that we will be. I'm just saying we probably will be okay. So let's get started. Let's start this in, oh man, where's my Bible at? Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and 26. And this is when he created man. And he gave man all these attributes. And we kind of read past it like, you know, we want to get to the good stuff, you know, and you actually missing the good stuff, you know. Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and 26. And, Genesis 1 and 26. And it says this, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Oh, I'm adding stuff. Let me, Lord, rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay, Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So, that includes spirits, because he just gave us dominion over the earth. So, when the spirits come into our domain, they have no dominion. None. They have no dominion. They have no dominance. They have none of that. So, stop giving it to them. Oh, I think I feel an angel. Well, okay, but unless you about to die, and it's the angel of death coming to take your life away, or something to that effect. Well, my suggestion is to either you call on the Lord for strength or ask the Lord for revelations, you know, because they don't have that sort of power in our dominion. You have it. So if they're living and they are, he said, over every living thing that moveth and creepeth upon the earth. Well, that includes the angels, and they don't want you to know that. And so I'm telling you, you have dominion over them. Amen? So here's the other thing. He said this. He said, let us make man in our image. Now, our image is this. That's the spirit. The image is the spirit. The likeness is the physical form and, you know, genealogy and family and friends and coworkers and allies and stuff like that. Those are likenesses. Image is the spirit. What do you mean? Well, yes, it's a physical form, you know, as we found out. It's a physical too. But the image is where the imagination comes from, because imagination, image is the root word for imagination. That means that's where your thoughts start. He gave us the capacity of thought and reason, you know, when he said, let us make man in our image. So that means that God has the capacity of reason. And that he has the capacity of. So he created us in that same likeness. Dreams. Dreams also come from imagination, you know, because dreams are not yet here. Some are foretold and some are talk about things that's present. And some are just way out there because it's something we may have just got to be watching or something that we may ate, whatever, you know, but it's way out there. So, no, we got to be careful with those things. But, yes, dreams themselves, that's how he talked to us. So he created us with that gift, which is up under imagination. What else up under imagination? Prophecy, seeing. Things like that. Now, I ain't talking about after sin. I'm talking about before sin. So he gave us all these things before Adam sinned. This is what I'm getting at. You have all of this before sin came into the picture. So therefore, you can always call upon these things to overcome sin. No matter what it is, no matter what you plan on doing, no matter where you at, no matter what sin is coming at you, you can use these things to overcome sin. Right? Right. So this is that thing. What else we got through looking at here? What else we looked at? Likeness. Likeness, once again, is a physical, all right? Likeness is physical, so we start dealing with physical. Then we start dealing with the thing of reproduction. So he gave us the gift of reproduction. Then he gave us the gift of allies. That is to say, we're going to be attracted to people that have our characteristics. You know, this is why you got cliques, you know. Cliques came from likeness, you know, this is where you get that from. This is where you get different groups of people. You know, you got the hip group, and then you got the vegan group, and then you got the Muslim groups, and then you got the Catholic groups, and then you got the, you know, the non-sports group, and then you got the sports group. You know, it's just different cliques for different things, and, you know, book groups and stuff like. All this is up under likeness. Is what I'm getting at. Is that if you have these, like, say, for instance, if that's your interest, then that falls under likeness. You know, and you're gonna find people that have the same interests as you. There, so then you become allies, which is also under likeness, and you become kinsmen because you're familiar with each other, which is under likeness. So you become family. Some of us is a friend could be closer than a brother. So some of us are closer than brothers and sisters. Some of us have friends that's closer than a brother and a sister, you know, because you can't tell a brother or sister everything because they go tell on you, right? But your friend is your confidant, right? She's not gonna snitch you out, but if you don't trust your friend, then you really don't have one, right? I know a lot of us say that, you know, we got friends and so forth, man. But if you're lied to your best friend, then that's not your friend. Your friend is where you unload it. You know, they can. You know, this is where friends come in at. This is up under likeness, I should say. Friends is where you're supposed to be able to unload at, you know, and give your faults to and things like that. And they're supposed to understand that because we, once again, likeness. That's the same characteristic or similar qualities we all seem to have between each other. And that's that thing. And that's where friendship come in at. Okay. And so that's where friends come in at, right there. And the question is that's up under likeness. Because you're going to find somebody that's like you, close to you, or God is going to send you a friend. You know, I don't know, maybe we seriously don't take our friends seriously because sometimes you got to, because David said there's a love that surpassed the love of a woman. And that wasn't a homo shot. That was a love that a friend would have for his friend, that he gave his life for his friend. And, yeah, and I don't know, maybe David seen something there. Who knows? Well, that's up under likeness. And then also we covered, what else did we cover? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish. Okay, this is where we are now, dominion. And we covered the first half of it, because I can see, according to thedictionary.com, we covered quite a few things. Dominion, Ephraim, Wilkins, Spear, Eternity. So we covered these things in dominion, right? So let's go back to dominion. Let's look at that first. Dominion. And it says this, the power to govern. So when God created us, he gave us the power to what? Govern. Govern what? Our families, one, right? Govern our families. And then two, he gave us the power to govern communities, right? Okay. And then he gave us the power to govern religious bodies and education systems and things like that, right? And then he gave us the gift to govern kingdoms. We came to, you know, jump past all of that good stuff, you know, which is a part of governing or dominion, because the teacher has to take control of a child. Which is amazing, because the world has taken the power away from adults and given them to children. Now we have a world of mentally ill children. Children that are obese, right? Children that are dealing with their sexual orientation, you know, things like that. They shouldn't even be thinking about their sexual orientation at ages that they're requiring, but they are. Things like that. So he's given us dominion in areas, you know, that he put us in. Family, education, religion, government, kingdom. Okay. So, and that would be him, because he spoke those things in us because he was going to come through us. So therefore he was going to receive these things to the fullest. This is another thing up under imagination and, and likeness. If he was giving us the gift, when he gave us these things, he was speaking of himself. So when he come, he will practice the gift of likeness, the gift of imagination to its fullest, so that we can see what it looked like in the flesh. Because we never seen it. We only seen what Adam had, we never saw. But Christ being the second Adam is showing us what Adam had, and that's actually in us. It's in us, so to say. Because we all came from Adam, but we got to know what our gifts are. Now, all of us have the gift of Samson. Now, all of us have the wisdom of Solomon. So we have to find out where we at, you know, what it is that God has for us. And some of us want to do big things like walk on water and stuff like that, you know, so that we can be seen of people and be praised of people, you know. It's amazing, you know, how we look for that first. You know, instead of looking for those things that belong to God, you know. Dominion. It says this. What else it says? It says a sovereign. So he gave us a liberty. So if you got liberty, man, that's freedom of thought. You know, if you got liberty, that means you got freedom of choice. Sovereign means you are free. You know. In fact, let's look that up. Sovereign. Oh, I get it. It says it in the name. Okay. It's right in there. Wow. Okay. Sovereign. One that exercises supreme permanent authority, especially in a nation or other government unit, as a king, queen, other noble persons who serve as chief of state, rulers, or monarchs. So this is what he gave us, like, in our order, that we will have a king such as himself. you know, well, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but then we had kings like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we had kings like Moses, Aaron, and, you know, his sons. And then we had kings like David and Saul and Solomon and Boam and different brothers like that. So we had kings in those different areas. And so they all ruled us. They all taught us, you know, those things that belong to God, which is good and evil. You know, all of them taught us that by either books or exercising those things, either or. We were taught by our kings how to serve God for good or for evil, you know. As a king, queen, a noble person, serve as a chief of state, a ruler, monarch, a national governing council or committee. This is that thing when the first resurrection come up. The new moons are for. The new moons are for the first resurrection. Because they're going to have to come up once every new moon and give an account of the kingdom, you know, because it will be still flesh and blood during that 1,000 years and some of the, the 1,000 years, which is the seventh day. And then the eighth day, part of that, because fire is going to come down from heaven, it's going to destroy flesh, because it's still going to be flesh on the earth then. Even in the eighth day, which makes sense, because that's when man is circumcised on the eighth day. So that's part of the creation. That's a part of the whole conversation. We're still here. We're just trying to get through the spiritual part of it. So this takes place on the eighth day. So literally, man become free from come himself. He become the law. So we're going to be a witness to ourselves at the great white throne judgment if we don't come up in the first resurrection, which is also almost, if we out here performing wickedness, it's going to be almost impossible to liberate ourselves from ourselves if we are performing evil willfully. Because we are law to ourselves. We're witness to ourselves. So this is that thing. Oh, man. So he said, a nation that governed territory outside its borders. So that would be Jerusalem. It would be the city of cities. The law should go forth from Jerusalem. So the king is going to be there. So he had to speak this in existence, that this would take place, because that would be himself. Now, he's going to be here at the highest, the pinnacle of what a king is, supreme maximus. This is him. So he spoke these things that to let us know that these things are going to take place because they're here. He's saying that when he come back, he's going to show us what it's really supposed to be. And we have an opportunity, too, to take part in those things with him. So that's another thing. It says self-governing, right? Independency. So, you know, you're teaching yourself. You can teach yourself how to keep the law. Ain't that something? You can teach yourself how to be liberated. You can teach yourself these things. You don't need a tutor. He said, I gave you the mind, a mind that imagines. So you can see these things yourself. And you can become these things if you want to. You got some sovereign brothers that have their own life replaced and everything. You know, and this world can't touch them. And if they do, it's a penalty. You know, they life cost. You know, they may get away with it, you know, but not as quickly as they would someone who don't know anything about this. So that's just talking about those that sovereign. I seen that in action. I know people that's here personally, and I seen this work. So I know it worked. And then you have those of us that haven't gotten here, understand these books, but we still here in the matrix, right, functioning here. So this act here is for those that would step out of this, right, or for those of us that's coming in the first resurrection. You will be sovereign. You will be a king. You will have your own place to rule. Like Jesus said, the disciples are going to be ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. Cool, but you still got a whole world of places that need to be ruled. You have an earth of places to need to be ruled. The 12 tribes are just in Jerusalem. That's a small place, considering. That's why it's going to be a lot of people that come up in the first resurrection, because you got to have them that come from Adam, and then you got to have them that come from Shem and Noah and Ham, even, you know. And then you got that generation, then you got the generation of Moses, and then you got, of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then you got David and their generation, and then you got Jesus' generation. All these brothers and sisters are going to have those that come up in the first resurrection, and they're going to be sovereign, and even to this day. So it's going to be a lot of places to rule, to have a government at. That he said, I'm going to give you dominion. It's a lot of places for us to be where he could be King of Kings, you see. Let's go into Psalms 132. Psalms 132, because first he spoke of him, you know, David as a king, thinking as a king, prophesying as a king. And so this mind that David was, the spirit in right here, is the sons that's on David, you know. And you can hear the father and the son use David, but here this is the son. And it says this. I'm going to pick it up at one. It says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, right? And you can say that too. He said, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into thy tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And this is what, this is concerning the building of the, his, this temple that Solomon put together. This is what he was talking about here. He was going to do it. Solomon got everything that he needed to build a temple from here, because David already had it. David already had the material. He was going to do it. He had to go. What Solomon built, David could have built it, because he had the material then. That's what I'm getting at. So, however much this, some say right now, this the builder's temple, this place of worship, will be $55 billion. Maybe no, $65 billion right now to build this one building of worship for the whole planet. It'll cost $65 billion to create, if it was created today, under those standards. It would be $65 billion. Can you imagine a church that costs $65 billion with gold doors? Real, solid gold doors. The doors is solid gold. But anyway, those things belong to God, and he shared those things with us, and we saw them, right? So anyway. It says this, praise God. It says, this is that tabernacle that David was going to put together. He was going to build this thing. He had to go to make them gold doors. So that's why he said, I'd be a doorman at the door. He wanted to put the doors up, you know. Anyway, it says, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard it of Ephratah, and we found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. thou in the ark of thy strength, and let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. This is one and the same. The priests and the saints are one. That's them. That's those that come up in the first resurrection. They're going to receive also, and this is not just the 12 disciples. We're talking about from Adam all the way to the olive branches that came up and rose at the sound of the seventh trump. We're talking about them too. So from Adam all the way to them, they're going to be clothed in this right here. And so now here comes the dominion of, right, come the dominion of the, I'm getting excited. Here come the dominion of the government of God. Now this is that thing when he make us like in his likeness, we kind of bringing it all like a full circle thing, but this is up under dominion, right? This here. So this is where this come from. He said, now, first of all, he said, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and thy saints shout for joy. So the priests, you can see here, that's why I say are kings. Watch this. And for David, thy servant David said, turn not away from the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn the truth. He will not repent up from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. That's the one that's on this planet. They have it. It's among the Gentiles that was carried away during the days of Zedekiah. And when they carried out stuff into their temples, they still have them. The Ark of the Covenant, his throne. Right, or else he wouldn't be saying, I'm going to sit on it if they don't have it. And Gentiles have a way of taking care of stuff. You know, you can see it when they take care of their vintage cars. So they know how to take care of stuff. God put it in them. So trust, they're in the best condition. You know that. All right. Also, the commandments that he gave Moses, they have them, the ark, which was in the ark. And the buds that budded on Aaron's and Moses' staff. When Kohath and they staffs, you know, they stood before God, and God chose who was going to be the priest. Well, that's in there too, and they got that, you know. So he said, "I'm gonna sit on your throne," so he's gonna take all that back. And he said, "And if thy children will keep," now here's the thing. He said, "Now this is 12, and if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore." See, so there go the other governments that being issued out. This is where you have King of Kings come in at, because you don't get a throne unless you're a king. You see, so he said, if thy children will keep my covenant, my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. So now, here come the children of God becoming sovereign. And this is part of being becoming kings. You know, we just want to be claiming that. That's why I just say, you know, I be prince, you know. And my sisters, you know, and people on it. When I look at my sister, I try to remember the law of kindness. What is that? No, it says understanding and... This is and kinsmen, mean kindness. One of those two. Anyway, I try to remember those things. Obviously, I'm not doing the job of it, but I try to remember those two things. It's kindness. Let me read it. Okay, Proverbs 7:4. And when you meet a sister, this is the first thing that you wanna. Yeah. Okay. My bad. It's wisdom. It says this. It says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." And call understanding our kinswoman. So this is how the first thing we approach our, when it comes to those things, and nothing more than that, you know, yes ma'am, no ma'am, so forth. So this is that. So she too, right, she get one of these. Women don't necessarily get mentioned that they get thrones, but they do. What do you mean? Look at Deborah. She sat in judgment. Well, in order to when you want to sit on the throne, you're going to be what? Sitting in judgment. Deborah is a witness. And that she would sit above men. because she was there. And she a prophetess, so she proved that that would be the case. Miriam was with Aaron and Moses the whole ride, she was with them. So she's going to get a throne, you know. And the witness is that it was these sisters when Aaron was, Joshua, when Joshua was separating the land, and these three sisters, this man only had daughters, and they asked for their inheritance, seeing that they didn't have no man to receive it, but they still felt that they had inheritance coming, and they did. So God gave it to them. He gave them land too. That lets me know that he's going to let women rule too, because he gave them land. But they had to be married to their brethren, see, which would be God. So that's a cool hookup. The thing is that what he was saying is that being married to God, sisters, you get land too. And that's what he said. You get to rule with God, with him as well. Because of that hookup right there. And where is it? Just in Numbers or something? You know, I should be reading that, shouldn't I? You know, and telling women they parts. Well, okay, all right, well, let's do this then. I think it's Deuteronomy 17. Let's go to the source. If we're going to get these thrones, we got to start here, literally. What is it? Deuteronomy 17. Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, Deuteronomy 17 and 14. And watch this. This is the law of how. So if you're going to be here sovereign, you got to know how to get there, right? So most of us think we're just going to get it by keeping the commandments. Well, that's still that don't. If you don't know how to get there or what it takes to get there, you're not going to get it. So this is the first thing he said. How to get there, because he told us here. Okay, I'm gonna get back to this. We're gonna go to Genesis 17. Why is it this is in 17 and Deuteronomy is in 17? Anyway, Genesis 17. And 17 and 1. And this is Melchizedek. Remember now, he introduced himself to Abraham as Melchizedek. He didn't know the name Jehovah or Jesus or Yahshua, none of that madness. This is Melchizedek to him. That's it. And so when he appeared to Abraham, this is what he saw. So let's put our mind around this. He said, and when Abraham was 99 years, this is prophetic in itself, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, see, he was showing up. You know, he wasn't just talking to him in a vision. He was actually showing up. And it was Melchizedek. Because he met him and blessed him. This is him. He met Abraham a lot. You know, I would say he had, him and Moses had more contact with him than anybody other than Adam, I don't think anyone on the planet had more opportunity to deal with him than Moses, than Abraham, hands on. And Abraham actually seen him in his clothes. He's seen him dressed up as Melchizedek, the high priest. Remember now he said, let thy priest be clothed in righteousness. Well, we're going to be clothed like that. That's what we're going to have on, what he met Abraham in. That's what the priest going to look like. That's what the priesthood is going to turn into. That thing that appeared before Abraham, that's the whole point. So anyway, in order, remember I said kings are priests. I mean, kings are kings, right? Priests are kings and your governors are kings, right? And then you have also your clansmen can be kings, right? The heads of your clansmen. So they can be rulers in all these areas. So this is that thing. So God is showing us how to get to this point ultimately, you know. And so, yeah, you know, it's the end game is that we want to be kings and sitting on thrones and ruling the planet. But you got to get there. And if we don't know how to get there, then we miss the whole game. You're not going to get it. That's all to it. You're not going to get it if you don't know how to get there. You know, it's not going to be a goof that you get it. You'll get salvation. You won't get a throne. So you have to know how to get the throne in order to receive it. So this is first fruits. This is that thing right here. When he spoke thrones on the creation, right? Watch this. He said, Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine. See, I'm already in there. We read this again. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. That is him. Watch this. Okay. Hebrews chapter 7. This. Hebrews 7:1. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So that's him talking to him now, Melchizedek. Watch this. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So people be tripping on, well, there ain't no temple or this, that, and the other, you know, whether they got to pay their tithes or not. Well, where's the temple at here? You know, you cover the priests. That's what you do. You cover his priests. The Chesedics, you know, are these those that had the interpretation of the Chesedics. So, so this is that. So it says this. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. That's God, right? That's why we read that in Genesis 17. God met him, right? So he identified himself to Abraham like this, right? So we're reading this conversation. He said, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth for priest forever, the Chesedek, right? So remember now, we read in that Psalms in 132, he said, let thy priest be clothed in righteousness. This is what we want to put, this is what he's trying to put us on right here. This is what he's trying to give us, this. So in order to get here, in order to put this on, you have to go here. Funny 7:1, right? Okay. All right, so now let's go to Genesis 17, 1-7. Here we go again, right? Can't make this stuff up. Genesis 1:7. I'm going to say it again because that was Hebrews 7:1. And so Genesis 1:7, and it says this, Abraham was 99. Here I go again. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the mighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. There it is. That's Melchizedek. That was God, because we just read it in Hebrews that was him. And so he said, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, so Abraham knew this was God. He fell down. So Abraham is knowing he's talking to God right now, right? This is Melchizedek. He's talking to the priest of the Most High God. Look, now, this same conversation, watch this. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, and watch this, 34:5. And the Lord descended in a cloud is still with him there and proclaim the name of the Lord. They're going to Melchizedek again, right? And he's, because remember now, he's the priest of the Most High God. So this is him. He's proclaiming God because that's his job. But he's showing Moses how the priest is supposed to proclaim God himself by doing it and showing Moses himself, right? He showed Abraham first. That's what we was reading there. But he's showing Moses how it's supposed to be done as far as when he approached God as the atonement, the Sabbath days, all those, the feasts, the sacrifices. He's supposed to approach God in a manner, and it was in this order. And when he appeared here, he showed not only how you're supposed to approach God, but what the clothes are supposed to look like, because Moses saw him. He didn't see his face. He saw the clothes. So he saw what Melchizedek, or the clothes that the priest should have on. I don't know what these cats be drawing up. That shit is hideous, man. It is. It's ugly. It look like dog crap. I don't know where they're getting it from. I know the priest's clothes look way better than that garbage that I'm looking at that these cats is coming up with. It's awful. Stop it. The breastplate almost looked like it was made into the material. You know, it had to be gold, like, at its highest form. Not that I'm looking at these cats. They drawing gold, like, metal. No, man. Gold in its highest form is almost transparent. Anyway, so he said this. So watch this. And he said, and be ready in the morning and come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai. Okay, we got that part. So then he said, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. So we can say that he did that with Abraham, right? Because he came down and talked with him. And he said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. See, this is not a schizophrenic. This is a perfect mind. So he's testifying to something else. You know, he don't have a double mind. He's one mind. So if he's saying there's a Lord God, then he literally is saying there's a Lord God because God is literal. So he said this, and so the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance, and goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. This is that thing. So this is him. So watch this. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So he knew right then and there he was before a king. So even though this is Melchizedek doing a priest thing. Right? But he's a king. That's why I said priests are kings. And so he gave the priest this dominion, this, and he said, let us make man in our image. Well, that's his image right here. What we're reading is him. This is what he looked like. So Moses, seeing that he had on priest clothes, he's on fire, right? Because he said, Lord our God is a consuming fire. So he's on fire. And he came down in the clouds, so he travels in the firmament, in the air. He's seen that. Okay, so that's what Abraham saw. So when Moses hit the ground, that's what Abraham hit the ground, because he was standing in the presence of who? Melchizedek. This is Melchizedek in front of Moses here. But at this point, he introduced himself as Jehovah, right? Moses is, this here, Melchizedek, do Moses know that he's Melchizedek? Yes, because he just told him about the story of Melchizedek and Abraham. So, yes, Moses know that he is Melchizedek. Because he's telling him the story. Genesis is written by Moses, so of course he would know this. So not only did he reveal to him that he is Melchizedek and a priest of the Most High God, I'm going to have you set up a lineage or a priesthood that's set up after me. So Moses got it, and he knew that this thing was going to be like none other, right? So so he put Moses in charge of the priesthood, which is a Levi, Levitical priesthood. So he set it up after the order of Melchizedek priesthood. This is this thing. So it's bound by laws. Now, get this. Now, in order to become one of these dudes, you have to get to this point, right? Okay. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 17 and verse 5. No. Let's read 5 again. It says, neither shall thy name be called Abram, but shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. That made him a king right there. He became a king here because only kings give birth to children that are heirs to thrones. So that he just called him, and he just called him a king. And he made him a king right here. So now Abraham is sovereign. Before God, right? Right. And he said, now watch this. And yeah, he just made him sovereign. And then he said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. I will be God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, after him, after not just of the lineage, but after his manners, that thing, right? So let's look at this a little further. So we see that it's going to be kings coming out of Abraham, right? So we see that this is spoken into from Melchizedek to Abraham, that I'm going to have kings come of you like me. Because Abraham wasn't looking at the kings of this world. He was looking at him. So when he said that I'm going to have kings come of thee, he couldn't think of nothing else other than him. I want my kings or my children to look like you. Right? That would be the only reason of a real common sense thought that you standing before God and he's telling you, I'm going to have kings come of you. Well, and you looking at them, I know you're not drawing another picture. I know you're not drawing another picture. I know you got him right here in his clothes, Melchizedek on the scene, teaching you about God, telling you I am Melchizedek, right? I'm the priest of the God. It's another one like me. Now, mind you, this ain't some old dude. Abraham was an old dude. He's 99 years old, right? Abraham was old. Melchizedek is 33 and a half. He's not an old dude. He's the express image of the Father. So when Christ got up on that cross and he died at 33.5, that's the look of a Melchizedek. That you will be in that time window, 33.5, between 30 and 33. That's when the priests are still like that. You know, you got to be at that age of 30, and Jesus' ministry didn't begin until he was 30. So the Melchizedeks, he said, you're going to have the dew of your youth upon you, right? The dew of my youth? Well, yeah. What do you mean, the dew of my youth? Well, I'm 33.5. I'm not 100 years old. You know, he's going to have to do it as you. And he's the express image of the Father, right? So the Father is 33.5 looking, right? And that has to have me to consider that Adam, when he was created, he had to be 33.5 or 30 years old when he was created. So when I look at Adam, I'm not looking at a 5-year-old kid running around butt-ass naked. I'm looking at a 30-year-old man. Exactly. That's the Chesedek. That's who they are. Well, anyway, so now he said kings going to come out of you. Now, how kings come out of him? Let's look at that. Let's go into, Deuteronomy 17, right? Deuteronomy 17 and 14, right? Deuteronomy 17 and 14. And it says this. It says, and without coming to the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, and thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren, him, shall thy set a king over thee, him, right? Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. That's why they had a problem with Herod.
Right?
So that was a problem. To have Herod over us, that was a big problem. We weren't having it at all. And so he said this, and he said, we went to war on that, man, 70 AD, we went to war on that. And that brought an end to destruction of the kingdom because we had a problem with that. That's how deep that thing ran. Amongst we so far in the captivity now, we don't know how to think anymore. But back then, we were still in our land. We did have an idea of sovereignty, man, and we fought for those things. It says, neither shall he multiply wise to himself that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. So this here is another thing. I skipped. 16. It says, he shall not multiply horses to himself. Solomon had that and then some, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Well, Solomon didn't do that, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. So that dollar bill represents this captivity, not that one. It says, 17, neither shall he multiply wise to himself that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So Solomon's heart was turned from the wife that he commanded him not to marry. Because David had 300. His sin wasn't the wives. The sin was that he took somebody else's. That was his sin. Solomon's sin was that he married the wives that he shouldn't have. The law spoke against. You know, like, it wasn't that you couldn't marry Canaanites. You just couldn't marry certain Canaanites. It was written in the law, don't marry this group, this group, this group, this group, and this group. And then none of the Moabites or none of Lot's children, go figure, right? Not supposed to marry them. So Solomon did. He married those. And Moabite is the children of Balaam, right? Moabite. And Moabite and what is his other daughter name? No, that's Edom. So, yeah, he's getting in the kingdom. Ammonite. Yes, he's an Ammonite. Ammon and Moab. Right. So he said we're not supposed to marry their daughters, right? Go figure, saying that that's David's grandmama. Right, right. Okay, so anyway, so he said, don't multiply wives to yourself. right? Don't multiply wives to yourself. So this is that thing, you know, women run out there, see, you ain't supposed to have more than one wife, da-da-da-da-da. The man that's giving this right here got two wives right now, so that comes with understanding. What do you mean? Well, Moses is married to a Midianite in Ethiopia. So that's that. And so this had to come with reasoning and understanding. And that's what that had to come with. When I read that, I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute! This is a giant." But then, when he gave you specifics and instructions on when and who to marry, then you get it. Oh, you get it. And you say, oh, okay, I see what he said. And you see why, you know. I mean, just in the conversation we're having now, you know, is of Canaan. But that's a whole other conversation. But, yeah, this is how deep this thing ran. Let's see. And it shall be, yeah, right. 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart, that's what happened to Solomon, his heart got turned away, and he stopped making temples unto pagan gods. Not all his wives desired that. That was just those, you know, the ones that he said not to marry. He said, neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Well, we already know Solomon was the richest dude that ever lived, right? I mean, Bill Gates and them, as they popping, they turning it up, but Solomon, he said, man, if Solomon was alive now, he'd still have more money than him. Period. So, anyway, I say this. And it shall be with him. Well, of course, that would only stand a reason because he had like $65 billion just in stash to build a temple. So, yeah, he would be worth way more than him. I'm just saying. So, right, that's how that would make him the richest man of all time. Because he had $65 billion just stashed. Not his worth. It was stashed to build the temple. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levite. So you got to read this entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you haven't, you're not getting a throne. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get one because he just told you how you get it. You either read the book from Genesis to Revelation or you're not going to see one. He said, and when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of the law in a book of that which is before the priest and the Levite. Get to it. You're not going to see the throne unless you read the entire book. So what do you mean? Watch this. Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel 1. Now, look at what he's doing. And it came to pass, Ezekiel 1 and 1. And it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Shabar, and the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. This is Ezekiel, right? In the fifth day of the month, which is the fifth year of the king of Jehoiakim's captivity up under Babylon, right? And he said this, the word of the Lord came especially to Ezekiel the priest. He's a Levite, all right, like Moses. So he had information directly from Moses. He's a Levite, and he's up the food chain. Look at this. He said, and the word of the Lord came especially to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So his father was mentioned. So he was up the food chain. He wasn't just anybody. If he mentioned his father, that means his father was up the food chain too. So Ezekiel was a big dude. So anyway, point being here is that we're seeing here that he's a Levite, right? And so here's the thing. So now you go to Ezekiel chapter 3. No, let's see. You go to Ezekiel chapter 2, and you pick up right here. And chapter 2 and verse 7, and it says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, and be not rebellious like unto that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and I will give thee, And I look, and behold, and his hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and there was writing within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woes." So Ezekiel had the gift of, you see, this is all in the spirit. One. So he had the gift of vision. Two. This is him in the spirit. This is second. This is when he, because remember, I opened up. He was in a vision. He saw God and the angels, right? He saw God and the angels riding in, the cherubim, so to say. He saw them, and then he said this. He said, and there was a book. The one you got right now, it says, "And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations." And verse 3. And it says this, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, and eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel." So in other words, you can't say nothing unless you eat the book. You can't preach, can't teach, can't do none of that. Thus say the preacher, right? Thus say the watchman, thus say the law, right? Because he told Ezekiel, he said, "I made you a watchman," right? He said, "Warn the people from me." He's a Levite. He said, "Warn the people from me, warn them from me." So he said, "We got to write the whole book." Me, I underline every verse that I've read. That's what I do in my Bible. I underline every verse that I read, so I know I don't miss. I haven't missed a verse that I haven't read physically with my eyes. I've done this with every Bible that I ever own. I started writing inside of it, but when I literally decided to read it from Genesis to Revelation, I underlined every verse that I read. Not that this even was in my heart at the time. It wasn't. It's just that I just wanted to make sure I read every verse. So if I read every verse and every verse is underlined, then I know I didn't miss it. Who knew that I was actually doing this, that he said to write the whole book? And I did it a couple of times before I even read this verse, and it jumped off the page at me. And I was literally doing something that it had commanded me to do. So, Revelations. Revelations 1 and 6. Well, 1 and 5, it said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness," remember now, this is Melchizedek, right? Jesus Christ is one made like on the Son of God. Melchizedek, and who's a faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, the prince of kings of the earth, unto whom that loved us washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Over that word dominion up under kings and priests. So it all, see, and it's, so we see it all kind of come together. He's spoken in the beginning, and we're reading it in the end, and that's how it's going to end, like that, is that the kings and the priests are going to be one and the same, you know, and that his priesthood is going to be one and the same. Excuse me, distractions. But yeah, so let's look at this, and let's go to Revelation 5 and 9, right? Revelation 5 and 9. Now watch this. He said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, right, and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. That's why he told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, and kings going to come of you. See that? So this is that thing that he had told Abraham here, that thou hast made us unto our God. Because the Melchizedek priesthood, remember now, it was without lineage. That's the first thing he said. Well, he said he was the king of peace and the king of righteousness and so forth. But he said without descent, without mother, without father, without lineage. So the Melchizedek priesthood isn't about lineage. It's about righteousness. That's why he's the king of righteousness. Righteousness. So, once again, this Melchizedek is here. And what did he say? He said, and he took the book, right? Right, so he got the book. I'm sure he wrote the book too, right? And he said this, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people and nation. So the only way you have a chance at opening the seals of the book is that you read the book, or else the seals is closed to you. And a lot of people is get upset with the fact that the seals are closed to them because they never read the book. And they wonder why God revealed those things to you, because you read the book. So you was able to, he was able to open up some seals to you. And people get upset with you with that, like that was yours to make the decision to do. All you did was kept the law, is read the book, you know, and then these things, like he said, he will open the seal, I will come and sell with you. But if you don't read the book, you're not going to get this. You know, and that's what come with it. You know, when you read the book, then these things happen. And he said this, he said, and they sung a new song, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, there go that sovereign thing, there go that dominion thing, because he said we're going to reign on the earth, so there go that dominion that he spoke of in Genesis chapter 1 here, and Revelation chapter 5. He spoke the end from the beginning here. This is it. This is the end game, that we'll be in his likeness, right, here on the earth, kings and priests, like Melchizedek. Sovereign, right? It, that's that part of him that's here, and this is the part that we're trying to get. We need to get here, and it's the way we get here is this. And he showed John how to get to him. He said, in Revelations 10 and 1, and he said this, and I saw another And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. So the angels look like God too. You know, and also this is the cherub because they created for fire. So this is him and his, you know, where he got the ox face and all of that that he revealed to Ezekiel. But here he's appearing as a flame of fire, which is him. This is what he is. He's a flame of fire. He's created out of heaven. So he's a menacing spirit of a flame of fire. He don't have a skeleton. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. So this is him. He is fire. An angel is fire. He's created from it. We're earth. We're terrestrial. That's celestial. Right. Okay, that's a part of it. It says this, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire, and his hand, and he had in his hand a little book open, and set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, and when the lion roared, see, there go that part of him, because you got the ox, you got the eagle, you got the lion, and then you got the man. Well, there it is. So this voice came out. And as when the lion roared, when he cried, seven thunders ordered their voices. Now, this is part of the precept we're going to get into later on today, because we're getting into the creation part, because in the firmament, you have this thing called thunder. Thunder comes from H2O. You got to have oxygen or air. That lets me know that there's a such thing as oxygen or air in heaven, because thunder can't exist without moisture or water, which is so cool. So anyway, the seven thunders uttered their voice, and it's a speech, right? And John was able to interpret it where he had the spirit. I was about to write, right? He was able to interpret this conversation, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those which the seven thunders uttered, write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that are in are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, and should be there should be time no longer. Well, eternity. Okay, watch this. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, and have declared to his servants the prophets. Where are those things, right? Where are they? And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and he said, go and take the little book that they are. That's where the mystery is at. You see, if you don't read your book from Genesis to Revelations, man, you're not going to get it. I don't care if you, and you can sit up and say, I don't believe in that New Testament madness and whatever, but that's between you and God. But if you don't read from Genesis to Revelations, man, and you can miss me with that, because if you just read from Genesis to Malachi, you would have ran into Daniel, and Daniel would have told you that he came and went. But otherwise, we'd still be sacrificing. I know some of us want to get back to that because we can read that, and if we don't believe in the New Testament, then those things should be existing. But no, you can't go back to that because we're too far in prophecy. We're closer to the mark of the beast than sacrificing. Of bulls and of goats, us personally. We got it's another part of that that's coming, which is prophecy part, which is they're going to start sacrificing. That's coming. We wouldn't be that far in the New Testament, in prophecy, if Christ hadn't came yet, or else we wouldn't be talking about a new temple being sacrificed. Exactly. it says this. So now he said, get this book. He said, in a voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, saying, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the, it wasn't closed, it was open, right? Remember, he wrote it, he had it open in front of Ezekiel. And he said, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth, and the angel, and he said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and thy mouth shall be sweet as honey. And I took the book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. So you can't even speak the word until you read the entire book. If you haven't, you're not supposed to be teaching. There it is. You just read it. Right there. We read it in Ezekiel. We just read it here. He said, now once you eat this roll, now you can go and testify on me. Until then, you are not allowed to testify on me because you have not did, you haven't sought him out. Here's the point. So this is what comes to kings. Kings do these things. If you want a throne, you got to seek them out. You got to write the book from Genesis to Revelation. If you want one of these, you know, if you want a throne, if you want one of these joints, like he said, and that's in Revelation 19, if you want one of these, right, let me see if I can yeah, right. This, if you want one of these, right, Revelation 19:3. And again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rose up forever and ever, Babylon. And it says, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah, right? Okay. Then get this, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, so your throne gonna talk to you, right? Your throne got a conversation. This thing gonna talk. You get something like this that it's gonna talk. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to that Psalms 132. Because remember that David swore to God that he was going to build his temple. And then God said, no, man, no, you ain't got to worry about that. I got that. I got all that covered. But I hear you, and I appreciate that, no doubt. But he's like, I got that, man. So watch this. So now he's telling us, if we stay on the grind, we can get thrones too. If we stay in it, if we stay in the walk, in the work, if we overcome the flesh, so to say, we'll get thrones too. Right here, Psalms 132:12. No, I'm picking up at 11. It says this, and the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. And it says Psalms 132:12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their children shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. So these thrones are eternal, and they can talk. Exactly. They could do a lot more than that. Actually, in Revelation chapter 4, it got lightning and stuff jumping off. Yeah, let's look at that. We got some time. Revelation chapter 4. Revelations 11 and... Oh, no, Revelation, I just said it. Revelations 4 and verse 5. And it says this. It says, And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there it is. So your throne is going to have all this jumping off, right? He's, I'm going to give you one of them, you know. That's, you know, when you become sovereign, when you become one of his kings, you get one of these. But you can't get one of these until you read Genesis to Revelations. You're not going to get it. You are not even allowed to teach the Bible until you have read Genesis to Revelations. You're not even allowed. I'm not talking about bits and pieces. You better read line upon line, precept upon precept, from Genesis to Revelations. You're not going to see one of these. I can say that because we just read it. He said, eat the whole book. And if you're going to be a king, he said, let the king write it. Thus said the priest. Moses said, and if you set a king among your brethren, look, David wrote this whole book. That's why he said, oh, I love that law. He wrote the book with his hand, and so did Solomon. You know, all our kings that believed in God, they did too. So if you say you believe in God, then you read this book from Genesis to Revelation. If you don't believe in God, then you front. You know what? I ain't even say that. Just go figure. You know that first resurrection. I can say clearly that wouldn't be for you. Without reading that, you gotta know the law. In order to be in judgment, you have to know the law. And look what else it says here. Thunder and lightning. Okay, but look at what else it says here. When you read this Deuteronomy, this is what happened too. We missed this part because we haven't read the whole law, because we haven't read the whole book. This is how you know somebody haven't read the book, right? And they teaching, you know, you pick up on this. It says, he said, in 18, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of the law of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priest and the priest, the Levites, and it's, well, the Chesedics, right? And it says this, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. That's another thing. And he said, and he shall learn to fear the Lord his God and keep all his word of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. See, this is how you know if somebody had read the whole Bible, they wouldn't be so judgmental. It wouldn't be quick to judge. You know, you got people that's out here judging people and going around sowing discord. They never read the word. Or they blasphemous because they can read the word and just not be obedient or subjected to it. You know, blasphemous. So that's what people do. People do that. So he said that his heart be not lifted up above his brother. So this is another thing that if you someone that read the word of God, what it do is it keep you humble. One, it'll humble you. Ain't that what happened to Moses, man? He was the meekest man upon the whole earth, right? So why? Because he was there. God was giving it to him. And, that's what it do. You know, and when you read the word of God, you understand his person and that you're not that person. You know we're near him. When you read about him, then you understand that you are what you are, you know, and whatever that may be. You know, we all got our different plagues that Solomon called them and kings in our thoughts. We all got our plagues and our thoughts, whatever it is that our ear is that we jumps out on or whatever set our ear off, right? He it keeps you in mind that you're not above anybody. And that was, you know, and that was one of David's biggest points with God, man. You know, that he always kept his mind on the people, you know, and their welfare. And God loved them for that. And you could see when he was making points with them, you know, when he was like, the brother we had went out and they just took this kingdom. And they had all the spoils, and they're like, man, they didn't go out and fight. They stayed here. Why should we share? And David said, no, man, these are brothers too. And besides, man, they stayed here and they protected our stuff, you know. And whatever God gave us, man, we share with the family, and that's how it's going to go. And that's how Israel grew, all 12 of us up under David, like that. And, man, God loved him for that, you know. And you could see when he was earning them points, man, you could pick up on it. And it says this, and so he said, and his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he might prolong his days in his kingdom. And he and his children in the midst of Israel. You see, this is that thing. You know, he said, and if your children would keep my commandments, they will what? Sit upon thrones forevermore. And there he has said it again. You see, so when you look at this word, it says this when he said he gave us dominion. He said he gave us dominion. He was talking about these things that belong to him, because remember now, this is him in chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19 and 11. And it says this, before I go back to this here law, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. That's Melchizedek. He's the king of righteousness, right? But now he's coming to judge and make war. This is not him meeting Abraham. This is him coming to take the world. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Well, his eyes are a flame of fire because Moses told us that the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Well, his eyes would be fire. So I don't know who these dudes be drawing up, this old head with this white beard and, you know, all swole up, looking like he's going to beat up thing that he can run into. I don't get that from this. I don't. I get a 33-year-old dude on fire, like the Human Torch or the Fantastic Four, something like that, but with zenith and brilliance like the sun, you know. Not in prison stripes or looking like the Scarecrow, but like this, you know, he got a color to him. I think his color is amber because the father is jasmine. And both of their colors is different. You can read the father's color in Revelation chapter 4, and you can read his color in Ezekiel chapter 1. So, and I don't want to mix up their colors, so I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, but their eyes, his eyes is a flame of fire because Moses said, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. He saw him. Like, he didn't see his face, but he saw him, so he saw the back part of him was on fire. So this is him. He's saying it again. He said, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Well, this is a testimony. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And his name was written that no man knew but he himself. Why? Because he's a Chesedek. That conversation don't exist in the world. You know, if it did, it existed with Adam. And when the flood came, that was the end of that conversation. That conversation don't exist anymore. Let's see. And the armies, yeah, and he said three. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white thrones, white horses, and clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron, the winepress of fierceness and wrath of mighty God, of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's him. And that's those that come up in the first resurrection. Remember now, he said, I'm going to give them thrones too, also. And so that's this conversation coming to pass. So when you go, if you come up in the first resurrection, after you read this book from Genesis to Revelation, if you're going to have any chance at it, right? To meet him here, you definitely got to read the entire scroll. So, to be what? Sovereign, right? That we don't lift ourselves up above our brethren. You got that. One who exercised supreme permanent authority. So he said, we're going to sit upon thrones forevermore, whatever it is. We become sovereign. He said, and have dominion upon the earth. So this is up under dominion. So when he spoke this in existence, he was speaking of himself and those that would come in the first resurrection. This is it. It says one that exercised supreme permanent authority, especially in a nation or other government unit, as a king, queen, or noble person who served as chief of state or ruler or monarch, a national governing council or committee, a nation that governs territories outside its borders. Gold coins formerly used in Great Britain, self-governing, independent, having supreme rank, power, parliament, supreme, superlateral strength or efficiency, government, diplomacy, a person exercising supreme authority, a monarch, supreme in rank and or authority, excellence or outstanding. You're going to have your own colors. You know, when we come up in the first resurrection, you sitting on the throne, you're going to be in your own colors. Let's look at that, man. Because I did say, you know, that the Father, we pushing up on the clock. In fact, let me read a couple more of these, and then we're going to wrap it up. It says, a person who is sovereign power or authority. This is that thing that when you see this demonstrated in the world, that the world can't touch them because they are sovereign. And they bought themselves into this part. And it's a very, 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 very interesting place to be in this world, where you create your own license plate, car. And they got to honor it. You know, it's crazy. But with that being said, you know, doing this this first fruits of the Spirit, man, we could see that the God of Israel had given us mighty fruit, man. I mean, you know, we really don't consider, we don't consider all the things that the Father, well, we should. I think, I ain't going to say we don't. I don't consider all those things the Father has done, you know. And so thank you for, you know, I thank the Father for giving me the dictionary, you know, giving me the dictionary to be able to listen to the precepts. So, you know, and hear it, you know, and understand the speech that this world has given us. You know, so I can hear his, you know, because that's a part of it, you know. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Well, that's a hard do if you can't. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, please read your Bible. Shabbat Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.